morning, church family. Come on, let's stand up across this room. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's joy in the house of the Lord today. Let's experience His joy in this place.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out Your praise.
Let's sing this together.
God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from that grave, my God.
Prestonwood, we're so excited this morning to have 8 coming for believers' baptism. Amen. We have a father and son to start out with. This is Daryl Stiles.
And this is Gunner Stiles.
Daryl and Gunner, upon your public profession of faith, it is our pleasure and delight to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have 2 brothers coming this morning. This is Alabe Solomon.
And this is Eddie Solomon.
Eddie and Alabe, upon your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Congrats, God.
Amen.
God bless you.
You good? Yeah. You good? Yeah. This is one team. This is Ryan Metcalf.
And this is Justin Mormon.
Ryan and Justin, upon your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have two precious young ladies. This is Kati Osorio.
This is McKenna Lutz.
McKenna and Kati, upon your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll bury with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning to you. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. Do you sense it? Do you feel it? My name is Rick Briscoe, one of the worship pastors here this morning, and we are so delighted that you have come to church. I love what Pastor Scott just said in the baptistry. We got this. We're one team. We are truly one team, aren't we? And it's good to be together as a team today. You may be here live and in person, or you may be watching online today. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me that every week, hundreds and, yes, thousands of people join us online as our services are broadcast. So could we just say welcome to our online service this morning? Welcome to you. It's just good to be together, right? So good to be together. If you're a guest here at Prestonwood, maybe this is your first time, or you've come several times, but you still consider yourself a guest, would you take a moment and text the word guest to 74788. That's the word guest to 74788. We'd simply like to have a record of your attendance this morning. If you're not a texter, I get it. If you're not a texter, stop by the Guest Central booth out in the atrium so we can see you face to face and shake a hand and let you know that we're thrilled that you are a part of our services today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We've been praying as a staff team that God would fill this place with his presence. Pastor Graham is in the pulpit this morning with a powerful message out of the book of Romans. And I'm just reminded today as we continue in worship that all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has proven himself over and over and over again. Story after story after story of his provision for his people. You may be facing a great ocean in your life, but you know what? Our God can part the waters. You may be facing some difficulty and some challenges for provision in your life. God sends manna from heaven. Let's trust him today and have no fear. There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Would you stand and sing this together? There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Let's declare. Make way through the water, walk me through the fire, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones. God, I believe in you. Sing it. I have a hope found in your name, and I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress. Sing it out. Over and over. Abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable, all things are possible. Power of the name of Jesus, amen. The name of Jesus makes demons flee. Come on, you know this, sing it out. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. Amen. There's a light. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Oh, sing it out. My Savior, there is power. that today.
You're my rock, my redeemer.
Thank you, Rick. Good to have our choir and orchestra today. They just returned from Nashville last week, where they sang at the Grand Ole Opry and led in worship there. Great, great experience. And so it's great to see all of them and all of you today. Go ahead and take a seat for just a moment. Thank you for being a worshiper and joining us in these great songs of faith and victory in Christ. Well, God is doing some incredible things at Preston Wood and through the ministry of this church. And as you've been hearing for a number of months now, our sports outreach, Preston Wood Sports Outreach, continues to make an impact on our community and beyond with boys and girls and their families. It's one of the key, really most effective outreach organizations of our church in terms of just reaching people all over North Texas, using sports as the vehicle to share the good news of Christ and the hope that we have in Him. And we're in a project right now on the north side of this campus, and it's the Joe Perry Sports Project, or it's the Joe Perry Sports Ministry Project and Complex, and it's fantastic. I hope you have a chance to drive around. I know some of you have never been on the north side of this property. You come in the front doors on the south side, and you've never, there's a lot of acreage behind us over here, and our sports ministry operates there along with Prestonwood School, PCA. And oh, by the way, we had a great experience yesterday. Our student choir ministry are doing the Fall Follies, which is in support of their mission trip next summer, and they are fantastic. Two more performances today, this afternoon, and this evening. If you can get in, yeah, you ought to go. It's just great, incredible. But we are seeing God move in spectacular ways, and this project is one of them. And we committed almost a couple of years ago now, $8 million for this project, and the money is coming in, and we need more. We need more of you to join us in this effort. But we brought you a little video because it may be out of sight, out of mind, what's going on over there. And so we had a little fun yesterday, I did, with some of the kids, and so watch this video and enjoy. Hey everybody, I'm with a group of PSO kids. They play soccer, they play baseball, they play football, and we're on the brand new Joe Perry Sports Complex Championship Field. And all these kids are champions. And we have an opportunity to reach our community with the gospel of Christ through sports. It's really our greatest outreach in terms of just reaching people. Even today, on Saturday, there are thousands of parents and kids on this property. It happens every single week. And in addition to this great field, we are upgrading all of our fields. And right behind me is the pavilion. It's a park atmosphere. We've got a brand new, beautiful entrance on the north side of the campus. And we've got bays where we can plug in food trucks and have concerts and have all kinds of great experiences. This is taking the church outdoors and reaching people for Christ. So I want to thank all of you who are supporting the Joe Perry Sports Complex project. And so many of you have been in, you've been giving. More of you will be added in. We need more of you, actually, because we have some new ideas as to how we can completely expand this, including running and jogging paths around our beautiful Prestonwood Lake. We want to turf some more fields and make it just the finest sports complex in the Metroplex and beyond. You know, we have a saying here at Prestonwood: excellence in all things and all things to the glory of God. And so we want excellence in this and to the glory of God. So we're going to have so many children and so many parents outside enjoying this, experiencing this, and hearing the witness of the gospel. So kids, let me ask you, what do you want to say to all the Prestonwood members who are supporting the Joe Perry Sports Project? And so with those voices, you know, reaching children for Christ helps us reach families for Christ. And we're grateful. This morning, I did preach the first service. And during the invitation, our little granddaughter, Piper Graham, came forward and made her profession of faith in Christ, along with other children. Yeah. Well, I'm just celebrating that. And you know, when you see a little child come to Jesus, I told Piper this morning before the service that you have a lifetime now to live for the Lord. The best time to reach a person for Christ is early and when they're children. So we're using sports, and of course adults participate in our sports ministries as well, along with all the parents and volunteers. So thank you for giving your tithes and offerings each week to support the regular budget and ministry of the church, and then these extras that we do. And I'm going to be coming to you in January with a big vision for both campuses, along with Prestonwood Christian Academy. It's a major vision that God is laying on our hearts in these days. So it's going to take all of us in, but we know we have a God who supplies all of our needs. You know, I guess there is a supply chain issue in the country right now and in the world. But with God, His provision is never lacking. And we always have His supply. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And He shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. So as God supplies your needs and meets your needs, continue to be faithful in your giving. And if you would like more information about how you could give a gift to the Prestonwood Ministry, Sports Outreach Ministry, and in particular the Joe Perry Complex, named after one of our great ministers here at Prestonwood, Joe Perry, who began and led our sports ministry in such an incredible way. But contact us, and we would be glad, of course, to direct you as to how you can make a difference and put us over the top financially and beyond, because there are some other things that we want to do and need to do to make this the very best that it can be. God bless you, and let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity once again to be together in your name. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, each one of us today. We thank you for the promises and the securities and certainties that we have in you and the victory that we have in Jesus. We pray, O Lord, for your provision for your church, for this project and all the other things that are being accomplished in your name for your glory. Thank you for your people who are giving so graciously and generously. And may we give over and above today because you are worthy of all that we bring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who stood with me up on the mountain. for someone who's been as good as you. Just say I love you. Oh, how I love you. I cannot say enough how much I love.
And the scripture says that we love him because he first loved us. And it is the love of God, which is the theme of eternity, that has changed our lives. And so we celebrate God's love and we give that love back to him. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The title of this message is More Than Conquerors. Mark Battison reminds us of the 1977 power ballad, We Are the Champions. It was the traditional encore at the end of performances by the British band Queen. And while it never hit number one on the charts, a team of scientific researchers dubbed it the catchiest song in the history of pop music. Who can forget Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavericks singing, We Are the Champions? The last time we won a championship around here, which was 2011. We're due one. The catchiest song in the history of pop music. Maybe it's the unique combination of jazz chords, major and minor, 6th, 7th, 11th, and 13th harmonies. Or perhaps it was the male high C in falsetto belted out by lead singer Freddie Mercury. Regardless, once it gets in your head, it's tough to get out. Nearly three decades after the original recording, it was voted the world's favorite song in a worldwide music poll. We are the champions. It's a power ballad. When you go to an arena or a stadium, you often hear music that powers the people up, songs that are arena driven, that challenge us all. And here we have in Romans chapter 8, the greatest power ballad of all time. That's what Romans 8 really is. It's a power ballad. In that, we have the powerful promises of God regarding our security and our certainty in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are forever His, loved unconditionally, and we live with an unstoppable and undeniable conviction that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. This we know. You can tie together verse 28 of Romans 8, for we know that all things are working together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. And the words of the Apostle Paul as you drop back down to verse 38 where it says, for I am persuaded, I am sure. This is a chapter full of undeniable confessions that we live in victory, that we are super conquerors, that we are more than conquerors. And this passage of Scripture contains some of the most powerful and beautiful assurances in all of the Bible. That's good to know. In a cancel culture, that no one can cancel what God has done and is doing in your life through Jesus Christ. We are held in His hand, in His omnipotent grip. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We are eternally secure because of what Christ has done for us. So the Apostle Paul is reminding us of this truth. Some things are so stunning and staggering that the only response is silence. So this is perhaps the reason when we read that verse, what shall we say then? What shall we say of all of these things? What things? The things that we have been learning throughout the book of Romans. From the first chapter to the eighth chapter, and now this eighth chapter, 39 power-packed verses of promise. All of these things, when you consider what God has done while we were broken and lost in our sin and unable to save ourselves, God demonstrates his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. All these verses preceding chapter 8 and verse 32 here, when Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? It's just overwhelming, isn't it? To stop and think and contemplate what God has done. What shall we say to these things? It's a leading question. And Paul here is like an attorney. We said this earlier on as he's making his case for the gospel. And he is leading with a question here. What shall we say then about all these things? It's a question really with an exclamation point. It's a question that becomes an exclamation point. Sometimes when I'm texting, maybe you do the same thing, when I want to ask a question and make a point at the same time, I'll make the statement and I'll put some question marks. And then I'll put a bunch of exclamation points. And that's what the apostle is doing in this text. What shall we say then to these things? Question mark, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Because this is what God has done. And this entire passage, all of Romans 8 and this great close, it is a worship experience to walk through these last verses of Romans chapter 8. And one commentator said, this whole passage strikes us as transcending everything in language. One gospel orator said, in speaking of this passage, here Paul dips his pen in golden glory. That's description. That's descriptive. Paul is looking back at all that he has written and reminding us that because of what God has done, there are certain things that are true that can never change. What is left to say? John Stott, the great British preacher and commentator, said this. He said, the apostle's answer to his own question is to ask five more questions, to which there is no answer. He hurls them into space in a spirit of bold defiance. He challenges anyone or anybody and everybody in heaven and earth or hell to answer them and to deny the truth which they contain. But there is no answer, for no one and nothing can harm the people whom God has foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. So, Paul, in response to his own question, what shall we say then to all these things? He responds to his questions with five unanswerable questions, but I'm going to turn it around, and with these unanswerable questions that the apostle gives us that we read here in the scripture comes a promise from God. Promise number one, question number one, for the believer, there is no intimidation. That's why in verse 31, he writes, if God be for us, who can be against us? There is no intimidation. Now, we have adversaries. There are enemies that we face. There are haters all around us in the world. We may, within ourselves, accuse ourselves with a guilty conscience. Satan himself accuses us and seeks to defeat us. Satan is defeated, but he is not destroyed. He is not done on this earth. Satan is alive and well and living, though wounded, on planet earth. Even to this day, for the Christian, Christ holds the keys of life and death. But to all who don't know Christ, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that Satan holds the power of death. He is a death dealer. He is an assassin. He is a killer. If God be for us, then who can be against us? There are adversaries. And if you don't know God, if you are resisting God, then God is resisting you. What a terrible thought it is to consider that God would accuse you, resist you, because you don't know him. That God would be against you. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What a terrible thing for a nation to have God resisting that nation. And if we are not troubled here in America, if we keep doing what we're doing and going where we are going, then ultimately the judgment will come and God will resist a nation. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people. And God may choose, if he's not already doing it, to resist America. A terrible thing for God to resist you. But God says, the scripture says, to those who are in Christ, those who are believers, those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is for you. If God be for you, the question is not who is against you. There are those against you. But the question is, if God is for you, then who can be against you? That is a big if. If God is for you, game over. You are more than a conqueror. I believe in a God who is all powerful and all knowing and always present. I believe in a God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe in a God who is on the throne of the universe and who is on the throne of my heart. I believe in a God who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. I believe in a God who is greater than my mind can conceive. I believe in a God whose grace is amazing and whose mercy is abundant. I believe in a God, yes, I do, a God of might, a God of miracle, a God who can do anything but fail. I believe in a God whose name is Jesus, and at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And listen to me, if that God is for you, then who can be against you. This is the first and last truth of my theology, everything I believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is my go-to in every circumstance of life. This is my default setting, if you will. When things get misaligned, that God is for me. He is everything to me. Someone said, there are no odds he cannot overcome, and there is no enemy he cannot defeat. So what shall we say to these things? That there is no intimidation because God is for us. The question is not if you are a believer, is God for you? God is for you. That question was answered at the cross. When he died for you and proved to you that he is for you. The question, therefore, is not, is God on my side? The question becomes, am I on his side? Am I for Jesus? That's the first question. Paul said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Secondly, for the believer, there is now no limitation. Look again at verse 32 of chapter 8. If God did not spare his only son, will he not freely give us all things? Question mark, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. He's answering this rhetorical question, if you will. God did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all. And if God did that for you, will he not freely and fully then give us all things? Jesus the Son, sent by the Father, cursed and condemned by our sins, took our place and space on the cross, our judgment. He drank the cup. Remember the garden? Gethsemane, when Christ prayed in agony, sweating drops of blood, he drank the cup of indescribable agony to the very last drop, to the dregs. In that cup was the toxic sin of the world, and Jesus' love drank it all. And now that cup is empty for me and for you if you know Christ. So don't you know that if God has done this for you, will he not then freely give you all things? Paul's point is, if God did this, will he not keep you forever? You are his child. You belong to him. The word, will he not freely give us all things, that word freely is, in the language of the New Testament, charizomai, which is the root word for grace. You may hear the word charis, which is grace. Charizomai is there. And so charizomai here freely means that he just keeps pouring out the grace. He keeps giving and giving more and more grace. Grace so abundant. Blessing after blessing. He gives us all things, and this grace just keeps coming over and over and over again. He freely graces us. He freely and fully gives us all things. This is how we can know that God will never cancel us, that this salvation is not losable, because it's grace. From beginning to end. If you think for one minute that somehow works save you or works help to save you, then you have missed grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And if God gave you his son, will he not freely give you all things? If I'm willing to give you a child, you ask for my child, I give you a child. You say, okay, could I have the child's clothes? Could I have the child's basketball? Could I have the child's math paper? Could I have what the child has? Of course, if God will give you his son, will he not give you everything that he has? This is how God keeps us, that we are freely and fully and forever forgiven. This causes us to overflow in gratitude to God. Amen. Question number three, he asks, and promise that follows. For the believer, there is thou therefore no accusation. No accusation. Let's look at the scripture again. It says, let me find my, there it is, no accusation, verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So there is no accusation in that he asked this question again. Question mark with a series of exclamation points. Who shall bring any charge to the elect? That is to the Christian. There is no accusation. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Verse 12, 10 of chapter 12 of Romans. And his chief tactic as the accuser is to slander you, to shame you, to stigmatize you, to condemn you, to crush you. He looks for every opportunity to defeat you, to discourage you, to defame you, to dissuade you. So when accusations come, when you hear things like, you're a loser, or you're less than, whether it comes from a guilty conscience or whether it comes from the Spirit's conviction, but if it comes from Satan himself, if you are accused, you know that Christ died and rose again and is ascended and is interceding for you at the throne of God. Amen. You have an accuser, but he is your advocate. And your advocate says, no charge against God's elect. That one is my child. And he's praying for you. So the next time Satan maybe accuses you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Because one day Satan is going to be in the pit in judgment forever and ever and all who have followed him. There is no accusation that can defeat the child of God. And then, not only that, not only is there no accusation, but there is now no condemnation. Look at verse 34. It says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Which means that the prayer of Christ for you will see you through to the end and beyond. Do you believe Jesus gets all his prayers answered? Yes, indeed. And he is praying for you. When he prayed the great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 for his disciples and all who would follow him, he said, I pray that their faith fail not. So the prayers of Christ himself, the prayers of Jesus, the one who is alive and ascended and in the presence of God, this prayer keeps you, holds you by his mighty hand. There's no condemnation. And that's when he says, therefore we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not in us, but because of him who loved us, that he always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says to the Christian that he always, always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. So who is the one who is condemned? The answer, no one. No one. Because we overwhelmingly win. The word more than conqueror. You may have heard this before, but it's worth repeating. More than conqueror means we overwhelmingly conquer. It is, the word Nike is there. To win over, to win gloriously, to defeat the enemy completely. So it's a word, we are more than conquerors, which means we dominate. We don't just squeak out a win at the end. No, we are winning now. It's like a preschool team playing a professional team. We don't just win. We don't just get by. We gloriously, victoriously win. We are more than conquerors because this victory is in Jesus. No one. Have you heard of the Harbaugh family? You probably have. They are a football family. The father, Jack Harbaugh, he's the patriarch of the family. He coached for about nearly 40 years at the University of Western Kentucky. And he has two sons, and that is Jim and John. And you've probably heard of Jim Harbaugh. He had an NFL career and now is the head football coach at the Michigan Wolverines. And not only is there is Jim, but there's also John, who is the head football coach of the Baltimore Ravens. So this is a football family. And these two sons, and they made history, these two sons, when Jim was coaching the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers, and John was coaching the Baltimore Ravens, they met in the Super Bowl. Now, can you imagine if you were their parents, who would you pull for? Both of them, I'm sure. But they made history, and so the Ravens defeated the 49ers in that Super Bowl. And so, obviously, a successful coaching family. So what was the key? How did he raise these two sons like this? He had a very positive, faith-filled mindset. And every single day when he would either drop them off to school, or when he would say goodbye to them at the door, he would say, now you go out there and attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. That's what those boys heard every day. Go out there and attack the world. Attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. He would also, around the table when they were eating meals together, he would look at his boys and his family and he would say, who's got it better than us? And they would all say in unison, nobody. And it wasn't because they had the nicest or most expensive house or the best cars. But they said there's nobody got it better than us because they had love in their family. Because they had faith and they knew because the Father said it that if you can believe that God can do great things in your life. So God is saying to you, more than a conqueror, go out there and attack your day, attack your world with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This is what God has promised us. And I'm telling you, God, there is nobody that has it better than us. Nobody has it better than us. I knew you were going to like this sermon. One final thing. There are battles to fight, but you can't have victories without battles. And we're going to win those battles because nothing can defeat us and nothing can separate us. He asked the final fifth question. What can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? And then he writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. Here's the promise. No separation from the love of God. No fault, no foe, no failure can stop the love of God in your life. You know, a champion, a conqueror, should never be fearful because we always play to win. A champion plays to win. If a player goes on the field of competition and expects to lose, guess what? But we don't expect to lose because we know that we are more than conquerors, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We cannot lose. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I win either way. I live, I win. I die, I win. Even more. His love holds us. Have you read the end of the story? Have you read the end of the book? When Christ makes all things new, when we are gathered in his presence and forever and ever, the cheers celebrating the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you read it? So know then that whatever you're going through in your life, death, disease, things above you, things below you, demon powers, distress, all these, whatever is coming against you, nothing is going to take you out of the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. So, confess your victory. Claim your victory in Christ. Stop walking around thinking I'm lost, I'm losing, I'm defeated. No. So to recap, there is for the believer no intimidation. If God is for us, who will be against us? There is no limitation. He has freely, fully given us all things in Jesus Christ. There is no accusation. Who shall lay anything to God's elect? No, Christ died. He rose again. He's interceding for us. There is no condemnation because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who shall condemn us then? Nobody. not one condemnation. And who, therefore, for the believer, there is no separation, for who will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? We are guarded. We are guided by the hand of God and the hope that is ours in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. Amen. You don't just barely win. You win and win and win and win again because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, all of us standing. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? I said earlier in the message that God is for you, but if you resist Him, then God will resist you. God resists the proud, and if you're too proud and too egocentric to trust in Christ, to believe in Christ, then God's going to hold you off, and there's no hope if God resists you. But He gives grace to the humble. And if you will put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then all of these promises of no intimidation and no accusation and no condemnation and no separation, all of this is yours in Jesus Christ, but you must confess it. You must believe Him and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. So online, 747-88, 747-88, text in J-E-S-U-S to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to have a prayer for you right now, as well as everyone here in this room. And in this prayer, you can pray and receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then I'm going to ask you to come forward in this room and confess Christ as your Savior. And online, if you'll just text in 74788, Jesus, we're standing by to help you. We want to give you a Bible and materials that will help you get going and growing in your faith. So I have a question for you. Are you on Jesus' side? Are you on His side? Have you trusted Him? Have you stepped from death to life? Have you walked into the promise of God by receiving Christ as your Savior? If not, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me and dying for me on the cross. I believe You died and rose again for me that I could be saved because You are for me. I can't believe it. I don't deserve it, but You are for me. So now I do trust You, and I do receive You as my Lord and Savior. Just ask Christ into your life right now. And if asking Christ into your life, then confess Him openly and publicly. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever confesses the Lord Jesus. You see, you have to, you can have a promise. You can have a gift from God, but you have to open it. You have to receive this gift. So will you receive the gift that God is giving to you? The gift of eternal life. I'm telling you, you can know now and forever that you are saved. You can know that you're going to heaven. You can know that your sins are forgiven, that you can never lose the eternal life that God has promised you. You can know, you can know. So put your trust in Christ today. If you're in this room, come forward, and the ministers of our church are going to be here at the front to receive you and to help you in that decision for Christ. We'll answer your questions if you have questions. We'll encourage you, and you can walk out of here knowing these things, knowing Christ in your life. And you can say with the Apostle Paul, "For I am persuaded that these things are true." Have you been persuaded? Will you say, "I know it's true, and I come to Christ"? There are others, you believe in Christ, you want to belong to this church. I'm going to ask you to lead the way and step openly and publicly. Come forward and join the church today. We'll receive you as we receive members. If you want to be baptized at another time, if you want to be baptized as a believer, we'll make an appointment for your baptism. But come and believe and belong. Come and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as you follow Him. Lord, take now these moments of decision. planned before the foundation of the earth, planned before time began, for this moment and this time, a miracle of your grace and your power to save to the uttermost those who will believe and trust in you. May your Holy Spirit work in every life. Lord, we've preached the best we know how. We've asked your Holy Spirit to fill us and use us. People have been praying, inviting, encouraging. So now, Lord, give us victory in Jesus. Lord, help people to do now what they'll be so glad they've done when they stand before you, when they step into eternity. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.